Here's a surprising number. There are 65,000 Wisconsin small businesses owned by veterans. Some are members of a new organization, the Wisconsin Veterans Chamber of Commerce. To talk about the Veterans Chamber of Commerce, I want to thank to my left Saul Newton, who's executive director of the Wisconsin Veterans Chamber of Commerce and who served in the Army Infantry for 3 years. Carol Poole is a logistics officer, with the Wisconsin Army National Guard. And Mike Daniels, who was in the U.S. Army 5 years, airborne combat engineer. Thanks very much. Well, I didn't know until your August 15 press release, which we'll talk about in a minute, that there was a Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. Why is there a Chamber of a Vets Chamber of Commerce?
Well, simply because veterans are such an important part of our state's economy. Veterans, as you said, own more than 65,000 businesses across the state. They're incredibly entrepreneurial. So speaking as part of the business community, veterans play an incredibly important role. With that being said, there are some challenges specifically related to military service and veteran status. And so recognizing that there was a need of all of these business members, businesses across the state, and there wasn't really an organization dedicated to working on these issues. We decided to start one, and that's where the Wisconsin Veterans Chamber of Commerce was born.
Thanks, Saul. Mike and Carol, can you talk about the challenges that veterans have out there in the job market once they may be done with their service, or Carol, you're still serving? Challenges?
Sure. So I am still serving, Steve. I'm only a traditional Guards member, so I go to drill 1 weekend a month, 2 weeks a year. But I have seen the biggest struggle that soldiers or military members have coming off of active duty is really transitioning what they've learned in the military to civilian work, especially those younger members that join right out of high school, maybe 18 years old like Saul, go into the military as an infantry person, and then going out into the workforce and trying to translate that into a civilian job and explain to employers what they do have to offer and what their skills are that they've gained in the military.
Mike, does that mean as a former combat engineer, there's a disconnect there when you tried to find a job after you got done with your service?
Yeah, particularly for infantry engineers, those types, there really isn't a civilian sector of what we did in the military. So transitioning out and understanding that our leadership skills are what really transition and translate is very difficult to learn. And then it's even more difficult to put onto paper in a resume where it's interpreted appropriately by someone who's never in the military.
Now, is the goal of the chamber to get other businesses to give business to chamber members or for all vets to get jobs?
The answer is both.
Okay, that's a fair answer.
Our mission is to expand economic opportunity for military veterans, military service members, and military families. That can be done through starting a business, owning a business. That can be done through finding a meaningful career once you leave the military, or in the case of Guard and Reserve members, while they're still in the military. And in some cases, there are challenges related to military service. And so getting those challenges addressed, whether that's healthcare related or otherwise, is a key factor in the economic success and economic opportunity that military service members have once they leave the military.
Go ahead, Mike.
The only thing I wanted to add is that the way the chamber is currently structured, it's not strictly for veterans. Mm-hmm. It's also for non-veteran or owned companies that have some sort of an interest in the veteran community as well.
What's the do other states have a similar Vets Chamber?
We are one of the only states in the country that have a Veterans Chamber of Commerce. The focus on veteran business issues is relatively new. For the last about 10 years, there's been a lot of focus on employment and hiring veterans once they leave the military and encouraging employers to do that. We've seen a lot of success in that area. Actually, veterans have a lower unemployment rate than the general population does, and they're a top three recruiting priority for employers across the country. Supporting veteran-owned businesses and veteran entrepreneurs is a newer area of focus, despite the fact that veterans have always been ingrained in our economy. And so we are one of the first states in the country that has a chamber of commerce or a business organization specifically dedicated to working with veteran-owned and veteran-friendly companies.
I was really surprised by your number, 65,000 Wisconsin businesses.
Yes.
Owned by vets. Those are small businesses.
Yes.
What are the most common types of services provided by those 65,000 businesses? Maybe you have some examples.
I think most folks would be really surprised at just how diverse the business community of veteran business owners in the state of Wisconsin is. We have veteran-owned businesses working in every sector of the economy. There really is no one area where we're seeing a lot of concentration in terms of sector or industry. It's really, as Mike mentioned, it's about taking the skills and the training that you receive in the military and applying it to entrepreneurship in whatever sector is appealing to you and wherever you see a need.
Carol, do you think women veterans have an additional level of question or barriers to overcome?
You know, honestly, I don't. Maybe just the perception that people have of us that is a little bit different. I think that we have faced the same challenges. We serve in the same capacities in a lot of ways. So, I don't actually think we do have more challenges than our male counterparts as far as overcoming anything in the workforce.
When veterans apply with private sector jobs, do you feel that there is a certain level of discrimination? Maybe that's the wrong term. Of questions because of their background and, of course, the PTSD issue. Are there additional barriers that vets have in terms of getting a job?
Yes. I would say, to start with, for the first time in American history, every member of the military, from the lowest-ranking private to the highest-ranking general, volunteered to be there. Yeah. There's never been a time in our history where that has been the case. And so what that means is that a lower percentage of the U.S. population end up serving in the military with an all-volunteer force. There's a definite cultural disconnect between those who have been in the military and experienced the military culture, whether as a combat arms role or in a support role, and those who have never been in the military. And so what we're seeing is yes, there are some stigmas and some stereotypes that veterans do need to overcome. One study found that nearly 45% of military veterans reported that they had received some kind of negative interaction with a coworker or a supervisor based on their military experience.
45%?
That's correct.
Based on the military experience?
Yes. That can range from stereotypes about what they did in the military and the experiences that they had in the military to stigmas surrounding mental health issues or other healthcare related issues, stigmas around disabilities. And one thing I think that most folks overlook is that the vast majority of military veterans come out of the military and, first of all, they don't have a service-connected disability. Less than 10% of military veterans have a service-connected disability, and a fraction of those are mental health related. The other thing that I would say is that even for those that do have those challenges, the overwhelming majority are able to assimilate back into the civilian workforce and function just as their civilian counterparts are.
Mike, are you willing to share your story once you were discharged? Tell us about your dialogue to try to get the next step in your career path, sir.
Very difficult. I got out and I bounced around in the trades for quite a while, between landscaping, heating and air conditioning, those types of things. I struggled to keep down a job. Ultimately, I got into school and I was plugged into a veteran organization through my school called the DeVry Military Resource Club. And that's when things kind of started to come together for me. As soon as I was able to kind of get a small portion of that community back, it helped bring the larger picture of civilian life into perspective.
And how long did your journey to your next meaningful career take, sir?
About 5 to 6 years.
5 to 6 years.
Yeah.
Are you in a satisfying, productive job now?
Oh, yeah. Doing fantastic today. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give some veteran struggling who's watching this show,
Generally,
given your 5 or 6 years journey?
Based on my experience, I would say don't be bullheaded. Accept the help that's there. Don't say, I have this, I understand what's going on, I don't care what people say, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Be willing to accept the fact that you might have something going on that's atypical and be willing to get help.
My next question is, what's the best source of veterans to get training for their next job? The UW system, our tech colleges, apprenticeships? What are your thoughts on that? Carol, do you want to take that?
I would say all of them. And, you really have to look at the individual and what they're interested in doing and they can choose from any of those options. But like Mike said, there's so much support out there. The most important thing is they explore all their options and they go to those different resources and ask what they have to offer. And if they feel like they need that sense of community, like Mike sought out, make sure there's a veterans group on campus. I know UW-Whitewater has a nice veterans group on campus and they support each other. They have a lot of the universities do. They have guidance counselors on campus just for veterans. And they should seek that out and use those resources that there are in place rather than saying, I've got this, I'm on my own.
Any other thoughts on the best source to get new job training, Saul?
I would say that it really depends on the individual veteran. Mm-hmm. One of the challenges that veterans face is because those without a military background aren't familiar with the military, they don't necessarily know what a rank means or what a job code means or what it meant to be an infantryman or a combat engineer or a logistics officer, that veterans then get funneled into jobs that, frankly, they're overqualified for. And so I would say that one of the things that non-veterans need to be aware of is that veterans are just a reflection of the society as a whole and our culture as a whole. And so there's going to be some veterans that are uniquely suited for corporate America, and that's where their passion is, and that's where they want to dedicate their passion. There are some that are going to be very interested in the trades and in apprenticeships, and there's nothing wrong with either one of those paths.
Do you think most veterans, as they return to the two jobs or come back home, do you think they know what potential career area interests them and where their heart longs and something they might be interested in? You started in landscaping. Probably wasn't your first hope, Mike?
No, not particularly.
Okay. But you took landscaping because it was out there?
It was an opportunity, yeah.
Right. So do veterans generally believe what they might like to do, or is this not a time with a lot of clarity?
I would suggest that veterans are no different than anyone else that gets out of college. I mean, just because you have a degree or just because you have military experience doesn't mean you know what you want to do. And it might take a little bit of time just to figure it out.
Okay. You issued a press release, your organization did,
yes.
Saul, and you were disappointed that there was a proposal with the Foxconn deal,
yes.
And let me get it right. Legislators rejected a goal of 1% of contracts for the Foxconn incentive package go to businesses owned by service-disabled veterans. Was this the first time that the service-related veterans asked actually for a guarantee?
Well, we weren't actually asking for a guarantee. We were simply asking for a goal of the building contracts.
Thanks for the correction.
Absolutely.
Not a guarantee, but a goal.
And that actually mirrors a state program. So in 2012, the state implemented a program that said that any state contracts administered by the Department of Administration have a 1% of those contracts, they have a goal to go to service-connected veteran-owned businesses. That's businesses owned by veterans with a 20% service-connected disability rating or higher. Our position was with the Foxconn proposal, it's a great opportunity for the state. And with a proposal such as this coming with such significant state investment,
mm-hmm.
The same goals should
apply. $2.85 billion.
Yes.
That's with a B, excuse
yes.
me.
Yes. It's a very large public investment. And so if we have said previously, as we have, that it's a priority for us to support veteran-owned businesses by giving them the opportunity to do business with the state of Wisconsin, then we should extend the same opportunities for a project of this scale with this level of public investment.
Has that 1% goal been met?
Not to my knowledge.
Not to your knowledge. Why?
Well, it's a complex question. The first is, until recently, there wasn't a concerted effort in the private sector to really identify veteran-owned businesses. It relied on businesses identifying themselves as veteran-owned.
Self-identification.
And registering for certification with the state of Wisconsin. I would also say that there's also a lack of education about those opportunities generally, but specifically within the veterans community. A lot of veteran-owned businesses are not aware of the opportunity that comes with doing business with the state. And so that's part of our mission and our goal as well, is to promote this program within the veteran-owned business community and make sure that veterans are aware of the opportunities that await for them if they choose to do business with
another,
the state of Wisconsin.
Also quoting from your August 15 press release, the Small Business Administration says only 7% of veteran-owned businesses survive longer than 10 years.
Yes.
That's significantly less than the one-third barriers to small businesses. This is my question. Barriers to small business started by veterans. Thoughts, Carol?
Well, I think the barriers are the same as the rest of the population.
Identify having a business plan.
Having a plan. Yep, funding and all. You know, not just the business plan, the funding, knowing how to market and sell your business. I mean, tons of people whether you're a veteran or not a veteran, you come up with a great business plan. Maybe you have all the funding in the beginning to get started, but you don't know how to market or sell your product or your service. So, I mean, the barriers are pretty much the same. As far as the one-third of veterans, you said veteran-owned businesses fail in the first 10 years.
7% of veteran-owned businesses survive longer than 10 years.
Sure. I don't think that's that different than the general population. Most business owners fail. I mean, they say most small businesses fail in the first year. So, but I do actually think that veteran-owned businesses have a better chance of surviving just because of the mindset of most veterans is that of, you know, sticking to it and getting through more challenging times. And also we're really good at, like Mike said, leadership skills and organizational skills and planning. But yeah, the barriers are going to be there whether you're a veteran or not a veteran starting a business. Now, if you're working with industries as a business owner and you're currently, this is the challenge that current Guard members have. Mm-hmm. Current Guard members that are starting a business or even starting a job at any minute can be deployed. And if you're a sole proprietor and you get shipped overseas for a year, your business is going to fail most likely. Just in the instance of with the hurricanes, we mobilized the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Those business owners, within less than 3 days, had to leave their business, and maybe they were left some clients hanging and things like that. So for our current service members that are serving in the Guard and the Reserves, it's even more of a challenge because what is the plan if you're a sole proprietor? You know, I don't actually have a plan. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Sources of mentoring or advice for veterans who start small businesses. What are the best sources? Is the SBA any good, or other vets, or where?
The SBA does have some resources. They do have financing resources that are available for
any business or just vets?
Specifically for veteran-owned businesses.
Do the SBA people know their stuff? What's your experience?
Yes, they absolutely know their stuff. Like with any financing process, it can be complicated, it can be convoluted, and it's not for everyone. There's no silver bullet or one fit, you know, one mold fits all. It depends on the individual veteran and their business model and their business plan. One of the things that we are really lucky here in the state of Wisconsin is that we do have a wealth of resources available to support business owners and veterans.
Wisconsin is ahead of other states?
I would say, in my experience in looking at the national landscape, yes. We have a lot of resources within the private sector, the nonprofit community, the state of Wisconsin, local governments, the federal government, all of which are bringing resources to bear to support business owners, generally speaking. I would say that for veteran-owned businesses, one of the big challenges that they have is just information about what resources are out there, mm-hmm. And what resources they qualify for, whether that's being referred to a business startup organization or whether that's a resource that's available to them exclusively as a veteran, or whether it's a organization that focuses on veteran-owned businesses. There's just a lack of awareness about the resources that are available.
Okay, if I'm a potential employer and I'm interviewing each of you, mm-hmm. here's my question for each of you. What did you learn in the military that would make you a good employee for my organization? Mike?
Leadership, again. Having the ability to think through things, think outside of the box, and my terms, make it happen when it probably shouldn't have, or probably wouldn't have otherwise.
Okay, and I'm still very curious as a potential employer because I like you. Give me one example of a leadership problem that you saw, sir.
A mission that was supposed to last 8 hours lasted 5.5 days. We ran out of food and we were nearly out of water. We were out of fuel in two vehicles, and we ended up making it.
This was where?
Afghanistan.
Afghanistan. That's leadership. Carol, why do you want to join our organization? What skills? You're still in the reserves?
I'm still serving the Wisconsin Army National Guard. And, you know, I would say leadership, but I would even go further to say problem solving. When we're faced with complex problems, we can think outside of the box and come up with really big solutions or, you know, big, small problems. You know, we can do a lot with a little. And like Mike said, they were almost out of food and water, but they kept going and they accomplished their mission. We always accomplish our mission. And, you know, it always impresses me as an officer. I'm a captain in the Army National Guard. I've led troops. I've had a company of 70-some soldiers working for me. And there have been times where I've been given a mission where I think, no, there's no way we're not going to do this. But, of course, I don't tell my soldiers that. I say, yes, yes, we can. And they always rise to the occasion. A soldier always completes their mission. And you know, I'm really proud to say that, you know, I've never seen a mission fail because soldiers will rise to the occasion and we will come up with a solution.
Saul, I want to hire you, but tell me what leadership skills did you learn with your service, sir?
Well, not to beat a dead horse, but I would echo exactly what Mike and Carol have said. If you want a job done, turn to a veteran to do it. Mm-hmm. When we are given a task, when we are given a mission, we do everything to the ends of the earth to accomplish that mission. We see a target, we hit the target. And so whether that's a project in an organization, whether that's getting involved in our community, or whether that's working with other veterans, the skills and qualities that we bring to bear is a determination that, in my experience, is unmatched by any other group of people.
The military is such a strict hierarchy, so I'm going to continue this role playing.
Sure.
Saul? If I hire you and you think I'm wrong, how are you going to handle that?
Well, I would, as I did in the military, I would respectfully offer a viable alternative. One of the things that I learned the very first day that I got to my unit in the military was to know how to do the job of the person above me. And so I understand when I was in the military, I understood the responsibilities, I understood the role, and I understood the respect that whether it was one rank above me or five ranks above me, what those individuals were responsible for. And so if there's something that I disagree with, of course, I would respectfully say offer an alternative. But I would also respect the position and execute the calls that are made.
Captain Poole, same question.
Yeah, you know, I agree with what Saul has said. You know, normally when you disagree with a supervisor, if you give a good reason why and then an alternative plan, a solution, that's usually what we do in the military too. I mean, I'm a captain, but I am not afraid to listen to a private that has a better idea. And trust me, they let me know, you know, especially NCOs. I don't know if you're familiar with the rank structure, but a good E6 or an E7 will put me in my place by calling me ma'am and making it sound very respectful. Ma'am, you can't do that. Okay, why? And so, you know, I do the same thing with my supervisors. You know, I report to lieutenant colonels and colonels all the time, and I let them know. If something is wrong, I let them know. And you know, generally a good boss, and I assume you're a good boss, will listen and hear my side of the story.
Mike, you were in a pretty desperate situation with that mission. Did you disagree with your COs? If so, how did you respond? I'm trying to hire you, Mike.
Yeah, in that particular situation, there was nothing to disagree about. We had to make it. We had to make it up the valley. So everyone was on the same page. We were going the right direction, literally and figuratively. That didn't matter. Generally speaking, today, how would I handle a disagreement? Have a conversation. You know, absolutely. You know, generally people are open-minded. They're willing to have discussions. 10 years ago, 11 years ago, there were no discussions. You did it, and that's kind of the way it just was. So I don't really have the same answer, but that was my experience. Is you just did it, whether you liked it or not.
I really respect your service. Let me ask you this: it's a very timely question. How do you each feel when somebody looks you in the eye and say, "Thank you for your service," Mike?
I don't really like it.
Okay, why?
Well, it's a very personal thing for me. My service to me, it was a job. You know, I wore a different uniform, but they paid me. I did what they told me to, and that was it. I don't feel like I did anything special or unique. But at the same time, I do appreciate it because it's awkward for most people to say something like that, and it's awkward for me to receive it. Mm-hmm. So just the fact that it happens makes me feel like they genuinely mean it, and it's coming from a very good place.
Carol?
Yeah, it is. It's very awkward. When people say thank you for your service, I never really know exactly what to say. You know, I usually just say my pleasure or you're welcome or something like that. And I do appreciate where the place that it's coming from. But at the same time, I don't know if they really know what they're thanking me for. You know, that's what I'm always wondering. Do they know what it means to serve? Do they know what they're thanking me for? Do they know that I've had to miss my daughter's birthday or, you know, something like that? Do they know what we're missing and what our sacrifice is when they say thank you for your sacrifice? Because I don't think that most people do. I think they're going about their lives and they say that.
It's too easy to say, huh?
Right. Excuse me. They say it, but I don't know if they actually know what the sacrifice is and what they're thanking us for.
So?
Yeah, I would say, while I appreciate the sentiment, it often comes off as obligatory. The other thing that I would say is that turning back to the cultural disconnect between those who have been in the military and those who haven't, there's also a tendency to focus on the veteran in terms of their military service, as if that is what defines them, and that is kind of the highest point that they will reach, and that's the biggest thing that they've done. And I would say, for anyone that would like to say thank you for your service, they should follow it up with, what are you doing next? Or what are you doing now?
Or how can I help you professionally get a career or a job or something? Excuse me.
That was, yeah.
I didn't mean to finish your answer.
No, it's absolutely that. It's how can... The thing is that once you leave the military, you are uniquely suited to tackle any challenge that comes your way, and many veterans do rise to that challenge in whatever way that is, whether that's starting a business, starting a career, working in the community. And so to recognize that, yes, that's an experience that we had, that's an experience that shaped us, but it certainly doesn't define us, and it certainly... Look, I got out of the military five years ago. I'm just getting started in what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I've got a long road ahead of me. And the military is just one chapter of that.
Okay, we only got a couple minutes left, so just a couple more questions. Let me ask you all three care about the Wisconsin Veterans Chamber of Commerce.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask you each to give your goals for the chamber 1 year out, 5 years out. How would you like to see it grow? Mike, why don't you start?
I was hoping you weren't going to start with me.
Okay, we can start with Saul. Go ahead.
No, one year, I mean, just continue growth. 5 years, have a larger impact within the state. 10 years, hopefully Saul, who's the one who's heading this all up, is able to not necessarily remove himself from the Wisconsin Chamber, but maybe help at a larger capacity throughout the country or maybe the Midwest, where at that point, you know, from 5 to 10 years, the Wisconsin Chamber is really starting to function well on its own. And Saul is able to take his personal mission and expand it further.
Carol, your thoughts on the organization?
Yeah, I'd say within the next year, I'd like to see the Madison chapter, which we just started, up and fully functioning and going with a lot more members. 5 years throughout the entire state. And for me, my goal for Saul is he's actually going to be a politician influencing our laws that impact our veterans and our veteran-owned businesses, so he can have a bigger impact, because Saul's work is tremendous, and I think that he has a lot of potential to do that.
There are elections next year, Saul.
Yeah.
Do you want to make any announcements? That's
news
to you?
No.
No, I'm sorry. As the executive director,
yes.
1 year goal, 5 year goal.
Our 1 year goal, within 1 year, we would like to have active chapters throughout the state of Wisconsin. Just this last summer, we launched our chapter in Madison, which has been incredibly successful, and we've seen a tremendous outpouring of support from the local community here. And we know that there are many thousands, tens of thousands of businesses across the state that would benefit from the support and the programs and the events that we have to offer. So our 1 year goal is to have active chapters in regions across the state. Our 3 year goal is to continue growth, to grow to hundreds or even thousands of members. And 5 years out, well, you know, I like to aim high, so I would like to be the largest business organization in the state. I think that we have a tremendous community of veteran-owned and veteran-friendly businesses who support military veterans and are drawn together and find commonality with these issues. And so there's really no business out there that won't benefit from being involved with veterans.
Just to follow up, you recently had a muster in Milwaukee.
Yes.
What's a muster in terms of your organization? Quickly, we're almost out of time.
Our musters are our networking events. So we offer networking opportunities and highlight nonprofit organizations that we work with who are serving veterans. And so that's quarterly we do networking events, and we call them musters. It's a military term for basically a get-together or a formation.
Okay. Then the last question. There's a lot of veterans out there who might find this very interesting. Mm-hmm. What's your website?
WIVeteransChamber.org.
Thank you. I want to thank you. Saul Newton, Carol Poole, and Mike Daniels for sharing their experiences and their goals, all with the Wisconsin Veterans Chamber of Commerce. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.